Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 5.4, Building Future-Ready AI Skills and Professional Practices. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. There's a statistic hiding in these sources that completely changes how we should view our careers.
Yeah, the one about who actually gets promoted in the next few years.
Exactly. The people who are going to get the biggest promotions in the next 5 years, well, they aren't the best coders. They're actually the people who are best at being human.
Which is, it sounds totally counterintuitive, right? Especially when the entire job market seems to be just obsessing over technical proficiency.
Right.
We see these headlines every single day making it feel like, if you aren't building neural networks from scratch, you're going to be completely obsolete.
Oh, absolutely. The panic is real.
But the reality of what actually makes someone career ready in a digital landscape is shifting in a completely different direction.
So it's not just an IT thing anymore.
Exactly. AI literacy isn't some niche IT requirement meant only for software developers anymore. It is a foundational pillar for everyone, whether you're studying, say, nursing, marketing, engineering, or education.
I really want to spend some time on that concept of AI literacy because, it gets thrown around a lot. Based on the material, we're looking at a holistic approach here.
Yeah, continuous improvement across all those dimensions.
Right. Digital, analytical, ethical, and collaborative. It's actually a lot like basic financial literacy.
Oh, that's a great way to think about it.
Because you don't need to be a certified public accountant or like a Wall Street investment banker to function in modern society, but you absolutely do need to know how a checking account works.
Right. You need to understand compound interest, how to read a basic budget, maybe how to spot a scam.
Exactly. If you don't have that baseline, you're at a massive disadvantage. So AI literacy feels the same to me. You don't build the system, but you definitely need to know how to evaluate it.
The comparison works really well for establishing a baseline, I think. Just as you wouldn't sign a mortgage without reading the terms, right?
Definitely not.
So you shouldn't integrate an algorithm into your workflow without understanding its parameters. It's about evaluation and responsible decision-making rather than, raw technical creation.
Wait, let me push back on my own analogy for a second, though, because there is a glaring difference that's bothering me. Financial rules stay the same.
Oh, true.
Like the math behind compound interest has worked the exact same way for centuries. But AI tools, they change every Tuesday.
Literally every Tuesday.
Right. The interface shifts, the capabilities double, the old models become obsolete. So how can we possibly build a literacy on a foundation that is actively experiencing earthquakes?
That is the exact friction point most people struggle with, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's why the material emphasizes that professional readiness is no longer a static destination.
Right. It's constantly moving.
Yeah. If you define your literacy by mastering a specific tool like, say, memorizing every shortcut in today's version of a specific chatbot, well, you will be obsolete in 6 months.
Wow, yeah.
True AI literacy is about understanding the underlying principles. It's the mindset of adaptability.
So it's not the interface, it's the logic.
Exactly. The person who gets promoted isn't the one who mastered yesterday's interface. It's the person who understands the logic of how machine learning models process information.
So when tomorrow's tool arrives, they can just immediately adapt it to their workflow.
Right, which requires an ongoing commitment to lifelong learning.
Which means we really have to stop viewing learning as an event that ends at graduation. We have to start viewing it as a continuous professional practice.
Absolutely.
But let's bring this down to the ground level. We have these high-level concepts like adaptability and digital literacy. If you are a university student or a young professional listening to this deep dive right now, how do you actually apply this today?
The most critical takeaway here is balancing two forces that might actually seem contradictory at first.
Okay, what are they?
Well, you have to aggressively develop your technical skills while simultaneously doubling down on your human-centered skills.
And this ties right back into that opening statistic about who gets the promotions. We constantly hear this, pervasive fear that algorithms are just going to replace us.
Right. That's the common narrative.
But if we follow the logic of the sources, as AI handles more of the automated, repetitive tasks, our uniquely human-centered skills actually become significantly more valuable due to scarcity.
That is the paradox of automation at play right there. Think about it. If an AI system can instantly draft a perfectly formatted project update.
Which it can.
Exactly. Or if it synthesizes 100 pages of market research into a one-page summary, the market value of merely being able to write a basic summary plummets.
Right, because anyone can do it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the value of empathy, of complex negotiation, of reading the room during a tense client meeting.
Or ethical judgment.
Yes. Those human-centric abilities suddenly become the ultimate organizational bottleneck. They are the scarce resources.
It makes me think of like a high-end commercial kitchen. Workflow automation is essentially setting up your mise en place.
Oh, I like that.
The AI is the prep cook. It chops the onions, peels the carrots, and organizes the ingredients. It does all the repetitive heavy lifting.
Right, the tedious stuff.
But the human is the head chef. Because the prep work is handled instantly, the chef is entirely freed up to focus on the complex, creative execution.
Tasting the sauce, adjusting the seasoning.
Plating the dish, managing the kitchen staff.
Yeah.
All the things the machine can't do.
And if you are still insisting on chopping your own onions by hand while the chef next to you is using the automated prep cook, well, you are going to lose.
Because they're just faster.
Not just faster. You lose not because the AI replaced you, but because the human using the AI has drastically more time to focus on high-value execution.
Wow, yeah.
Working effectively with digital systems clears the brush, allowing professionals to lean much heavier into those interpersonal skills.
The lesson material provides a fantastic real-world case study about a recent graduate who improved their career trajectory by doing exactly this.
They're a great example.
But I think we need to look under the hood. The material notes they succeeded through a strategic combination of skills, baseline, AI literacy, digital communication, workflow automation, and strong interpersonal abilities.
Yeah, a real mix of both worlds.
What does that actually look like in practice, though?
Let's construct a vivid scenario based on those principles to show the mechanics of it. Imagine this graduate lands a role as a junior client success manager.
Okay.
Every Monday, they are handed 500 customer feedback surveys from the weekend.
Oof, that sounds painful.
Historically, it took the previous person in that role about 15 hours to manually read every survey, categorize the complaints, and try to identify the major issues.
That's essentially two full workdays just chopping onions.
2 days of pure data processing before they even talk to a single human being.
Right.
But our graduate applies their AI literacy. Instead of reading them manually, they use a basic natural language processor to categorize the sentiment of all 500 reviews.
Okay, so they automate it.
Yeah, it takes them maybe 10 minutes to set up the prompt, and the AI flags the 10 clients who are at immediate risk of canceling their contracts based on the language they used.
So they just took 15 hours of repetitive work and condensed it into less than an hour of oversight.
Exactly. And here is where the career readiness actually kicks in. It's not just about saving 14 hours.
Right. It's what you do with it.
It's about what they do with that recovered time. They spend those 14 hours calling those 10 at-risk clients directly.
Using empathy to de-escalate the frustration?
Yes. They use complex problem solving to negotiate a solution. They use their emotional intelligence to rebuild the relationship.
That is a perfect blueprint. The AI didn't do the job. The AI just sorted the data so the human could actually do the job better. To you listening right now, try to visualize this exact mechanism in your own field. If you are going into nursing, maybe AI handling your charting means you actually did an extra 30 minutes of face-to-face time with a patient.
Time to notice a symptom that wasn't on the chart.
Exactly. Or if you're in sales, maybe automated lead sorting means you can craft highly personalized, deeply researched pitches for your top three clients instead of sending out generic emails to 100.
Leveraging the technology to amplify your humanity, not replace it.
I love that.
And recognizing that dynamic brings us to the most critical and often overlooked dimension of this entire transition.
Which is?
The ethical imperative and responsible use.
Oh, this is huge. Because AI literacy inherently includes using these tools responsibly.
Definitely.
The sources make it clear this isn't an optional add-on or some separate compliance training. It's baked into the very definition of being literate.
We have to look at the mechanics of why responsible use is non-negotiable. It essentially boils down to trust as a professional currency.
Trust, okay.
Let's say you are the most technically gifted person in your department.
Mm.
You know every prompt engineering trick to get exactly what you want out of a system.
Right.
But if you don't understand the underlying limitations of the technology, you are a massive liability.
We hear the term AI hallucinations thrown around constantly.
All the time.
Let's actually explain the mechanism there, because I think a lot of people assume an AI is like a highly organized database of truth, and when it hallucinates, it's somehow lying to them.
Yeah, and that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the architecture. Most of these large language models are, at their core, highly advanced predictive text engines.
So they're not looking up facts.
Right. They don't know facts in the way a database stores a file. They analyze billions of data points to calculate the mathematical probability of what the next word in a sentence should be.
Okay, that makes sense.
Most of the time, that probability aligns with the truth. But sometimes it predicts a sequence of words that sound incredibly confident, grammatically perfect, and entirely fabricated.
So if you are taking a synthesized report generated by an AI and pasting it directly into a presentation for your executive team without verifying the
You're
claims,
in trouble.
you aren't just being lazy, you are actively introducing mathematical errors into your company's decision-making process.
And when that executive team makes a financial decision based on a hallucinated statistic you provided, your leadership potential just plummets to zero.
Wow. Yeah.
But hallucinations are just the obvious loud errors. The gray areas are actually much more dangerous, I'd say.
Like what? What's a gray area?
Subtle biases in workflows. Let's say you use an algorithm to sort through job applicant resumes, but you don't possess the analytical literacy to question the training data behind that algorithm.
Uh-oh. I see where this is going.
Right. If the historical data it was trained on favored specific demographics, the AI will silently reproduce that bias, filtering out highly qualified candidates.
Which exposes your organization to massive legal and reputational damage. We all know not to copy-paste an obvious fake fact, but evaluating a workflow for systemic bias requires a much higher level of critical thinking.
It absolutely does.
So if ethical judgment and interpersonal skills are the actual differentiators, we can't just passively hope to acquire them, right?
Right.
We need a system to practice them, which is exactly what the source materials development plan tries to engineer.
The intention behind that plan is to move learners from a state of passive anxiety about the future into active strategic participation.
Love that. Passive anxiety to active participation.
And the tools to build these habits are more accessible than ever. The lesson highlights practical platforms like LinkedIn Learning and Coursera, which offer structured, up-to-date modules.
On everything from high-level ethical frameworks to specific software integrations.
Exactly.
And it also mentions Notion AI as a practical example.
Yes.
Using a tool like that to organize your meeting notes, brainstorm project outlines, or even track personal goals is a brilliant low-stakes way to practice interacting with these models daily.
It really is. You build mechanical familiarity in a safe environment.
And familiarity breeds confidence.
Exactly. To structure that confidence, the lesson outlines an actionable five-part future AI skills development plan.
But we shouldn't just look at this as a checklist, right?
No, not at all. It's an interconnected system.
Right. So the first component is defining clear learning goals. What exactly do you need to understand in the next 3 to 6 months?
Makes sense.
The second is digital skills priorities. This is where you get granular about the
But
tools.
notice how the source explicitly separates digital skills from the third component, which is professional development areas.
Oh, why do they do that?
Because learning to use Notion AI, the digital skill, is entirely useless unless it directly serves a broader professional goal.
Oh, I see.
If your professional development area is becoming a better project manager, your digital skill priority shouldn't be learning how to generate AI artwork.
Right.
The how has to deliberately serve the why.
That makes total sense. You are reverse engineering your tool set based on your actual career goals.
Exactly.
So the fourth component is ethical AI practices. As we just discussed, this is where you outline your personal protocols, like how will you verify outputs?
Or how will you protect client privacy when using external processors?
Yeah. And the final piece is career readiness strategies, which is arguably the most crucial step for a young professional.
It's the translation phase.
How are you going to articulate this newly acquired literacy on a resume or during an interview? Let's pause on that. If I'm sitting in an interview, how do I tell the story of my AI literacy without sounding like I'm just stringing buzzwords together?
You focus on the results and the human synergy.
Okay.
You don't say, I am proficient in natural language processing.
Right.
You say, in my previous project, I utilized automation tools to process data sets 20% faster, which allowed me to dedicate more time to directly managing stakeholder relationships and resolving complex bottlenecks.
Wow, that sounds way better.
Because you are proving that your technical skills, are an amplifier for your human leadership.
You are telling a story about value creation, not just software usage.
Precisely.
If you actually take the time to write out that five-part plan, you immediately separate yourself from the majority of the workforce who are just waiting for the future to happen to them.
As we pull all these threads together, I think the overarching narrative is empowering. AI literacy is professionally critical, but it is deeply achievable.
Yeah.
Lifelong learning isn't a burden. It is the engine that drives your adaptability and keeps your career resilient against technological shifts.
And the most reassuring takeaway of all, I think, is that your human skills, your empathy, your communication, your complex problem solving, and your emotional intelligence, they are indispensable.
Completely.
They are the premium currency of the future workplace. And underlying all of it, responsible use and critical evaluation are what build the trust that actually allows you to lead.
To really solidify this framework, the lesson provides a few key knowledge check questions.
Oh, right, like a diagnostic.
Think of these as a diagnostic for your own digital confidence. First, do you clearly understand what AI literacy actually entails beyond just knowing how to type a prompt?
Okay.
Second, do you know why lifelong learning is vital rather than just an optional bonus in an AI-driven workplace?
And third, can you articulate exactly why human-centered skills become more crucial as automation increases?
Right.
If you can confidently answer those three questions, you have built an incredibly resilient foundation.
Absolutely.
I want to leave you with one final direct reflection prompt from the material to mull over today.
A good one.
What AI, digital, and human-centered skills should I continue developing for future career success?
To answer that effectively, don't stay in the abstract. Think about your specific dream job. What does the day-to-day look like?
Get really specific.
Yeah. What are the repetitive tasks you could eventually automate? And what are the interpersonal challenges that require your humanity? Work backward from there.
And if you want to push your understanding even further, the concepts we've unpacked today draw heavily on some phenomenal reference materials. I highly recommend looking into the books, Co-Intelligence, Mindset, and The Future of Work.
Excellent resources.
They provide an incredibly deep look at how technology, psychology, and organizational structures are colliding.
They do. And as a final practical step, I encourage everyone to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities.
Yes, definitely do that.
Actually, writing down your personal learning plan is what transforms these concepts from abstract ideas into actionable career momentum.
That's where the magic happens. We want to thank you for taking the time to invest in your future readiness today. The landscape is shifting, but you have the tools to navigate it. Stay curious, stay responsible, and keep building that toolkit. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.